Hello, hello. So glad everybody found us. Welcome to another episode of If You Know, You Know. So excited for today. Sometimes if you got here a little bit early, as soon as I started it, you heard me already say, I hate it when X screws everything up for us. We had a bunch of people that reserve for today's notification. And of course, they're not going to know that it's out there unless we feed the algo gods and retweet the space. So everybody get you know, do the thing, retweet it out, please. I've also commented down below. And let's get, you know, the algorithm likes to see us participate, and normally I wouldn't push this as hard, but nobody knows that we're here unless we interact with it. So let's get some people in here and let's get the show on this on the road. So if this is your first time, welcome, welcome to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is financial advice, and it's always super duper important to do your own research. If this is your first time joining us, we do this show live on X every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, always with new speakers, but you can also find us on any of your favorite streaming platforms. IYKYK is powered by Tau BRC. In the pin post in just a second, everything is rugging on us today, but in just a second, I'm going to be pinning up there the tweet that explains the instructions on how to get today's Space Caps POAPs. We're going to have a lot of BRC users in the house. Give me some hearts if you know, if you already are a BRC20 user. So make sure that you're following Tau BRC account. They are in here trying to get them up as a speaker so it's easy for you to see and follow, and check out that account so that you can learn the instructions on how to qualify for an airdrop of 420 BRC tokens. That's an amazing opportunity. So before we get started, again, quick reminder, let's feed those algo gods, retweet the space, get some more people in here. And then I've also put a poll in the chat. One of the really, you know, cool things that I am so proud of is in our spaces, in our IYKYK community, we have people from all over like different walks of life in Web3. This space that we're going to be talking about today has a lot to, it's very heavy on Bitcoin and Ordinals, which is amazing and such an important thing that we all familiarize ourselves with. But I want to get an idea because normally, you know, we have a lot of artists, we have a lot of creators, but mostly on the Ethereum side. So maybe this is the first time that you're hearing a conversation like this, not really sure, you know, where it's headed or like I haven't really had the time to wrap your mind around it, etc. So I put a poll down at the bottom. Do you have Ordinals? Like, I want to see, you know, the kind of maybe the audience flavor of the house today. Let's see who our audience is. So interact with that so we can get an idea. With all of that said, I am super duper excited to have the one and only BitGod join us today. BitGod, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to have you on. Why don't you start us off by, you know, giving us a quick hello and introducing yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for of course having me on this great space today. Sort of first and foremost, I think, you know, second from there, I guess sort of a quick intro is, you know, been in the space now a while. You know, I think been working really full time, I think the past 3 or 4 years in the space, just across, you know, basically sort of every genre, from the centralized exchange side to the decentralized exchange side, venture side, and a few marketplace side. So just a lot of experience and, you know, throughout that time as well, like very active in a number of different sort of communities, DeFi, you know, NFTs, et cetera. And, you know, ultimately brings us to a little bit more recently, like, I think it's now been, I mean, what is it, like 6 or 7 months that I've now been in sort of the Bitcoin sort of ecosystem and, you know, fell in love with it about, you know, I basically fell in love with it sort of the day I saw it. But it's been a blast to continue to grow and really just continue to push all the interesting things that I'm really working on.
Heck yes. So one of the things that that I wanted to talk about today, there's a lot of questions that I want to ask you, but one of the things that I personally have witnessed was, today, October 2023, Bitcoin in my mind has created almost a synonymous for Bitcoin and ordinals and the ordinal community and the space, OXBT and fine art, and you can find Bitgod on a lot of the conversations that are happening IRL as well as on Twitter Spaces. I have been a regular speaker on the non-financial advice space with hosted by NFT Now and by Trevor. And one of the things that we have done on that show, of course, led by Trevor, has been seriously follow the journey of the ordinal community and the infrastructure of it and the granular discussions, in my opinion, really truly like started there and went quickly on with Leonidas, et cetera, et cetera. But God, out of like nowhere, seemingly, you came on the block and you were immediately one of the leaders in the space. And having been in the space and hosting spaces and being on these panels, speaking, it was like one day, wasn't, I had no idea who you were, to the next day, who doesn't know who Bitgod is? And there's so much to say with that. I want to start off two-pronged question with this, right? The first one is, I would love for you to give us a picture on like what is it about the ordinal technology, the ordinal community, the Bitcoin community that really called your name to say, all right, this is where I'm going to stake my name, this is where I'm going to, make a home for myself, et cetera. And then I'm going to plant this seed on your mind. With that came a tremendous marketing of yourself and a tremendous lesson on how someone like at any time can come into Web3 and in this world of digital creators and in this world of, creator economies, you made a very big name for yourself. And I think that in Web3, in the NFT space, a lot of people are always curious on how they themselves can make, those big names for themselves, get people listening to them. So I want to dive into two things just out of my witnessing you come in, and stake your name in the space as one of the leaders in the space for the Bitcoin ordinal community. And then talk to us about how in the world you were able to find that much success in that little time.
Yeah, I think these are really great questions. I think first, right, how I got into, I think ordinals, and then I think, why I ultimately decided to stay and like and really try and build something meaningful, are sort of, really interesting questions as well. The first, right, being I got into it really after just being a very active sort of community member in communities, sort of ETH communities, Solana communities, and a number of other NFT communities in crypto, right? And like Near and Sui and all these different sort of like L1s, just being very active, trying to see what was going on, trying to see if there was sort of any substance, like many other people, of course. What ultimately did happen though, like with my knowledge of like the Solana communities, I ended up from there, of course, getting really familiar with Magic Eden. And there was one day on my timeline that I saw Magic Eden launch on Bitcoin. And I was like, this is really interesting because I hadn't seen that before. I ended up going to the website. And from there, it was Magic Eden. And then they recommended a wallet named Xverse, which I use really, really religiously today. And as soon as I saw those two experiences really coupled, I was like, oh wow, there's definitely something interesting here. And like this is totally Bitcoin native. And so, from there it was pretty clear to me that there was at least going to be something, there. I didn't know what it was ultimately at the time, and was just sort of getting used to all the different communities and some of the different collections. But it was pretty clear to me that, like, yeah, this makes sense on Bitcoin, just like has made sense, anywhere else. It probably makes the most sense given its specific attributes, with regards to digital assets. So that was my introduction there. I think as time progressed, I started to really build a deeper and deeper thesis of, like, all right, this isn't just another ecosystem. Like, this should be and has the potential to be, like, just as big, if not larger, than ETH because of its unique properties. So ultimately, Bitcoin as a canvas is the most resilient, database, or I believe to be the most resilient database on Earth. And I think that's really powerful for a number of different types of things, right? Not just NFTs or sort of like digital artifacts, but of course for the DeFi side, of course for more unique interactions like recursion, and what's coming to sort of parent child. So, like, all of this stuff I think has added to this longer term thesis of, like, this should be a massive ecosystem that really rivals something like the ETH side, and also provides a number of different sort of unique differentiators that I just think are what people have maybe been looking for a bit, and have not been able to have that sort of like thirst quenched on other chains. So that is that. And I think just a little bit furthermore, before I close on maybe that specific topic and move on to, I think, to the second question. I think in just thinking about how things have gone in the past with Bitcoin, it was really the first time after working in crypto the past 3 or 4 years, where I was like, okay, this makes sense. Not only does it make sense, it's pretty easy, right? Magic Eden and Xverse are pretty native experiences. From there, it was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I feel very confident in, really trying to set up here for a very long time and trying to build a real business. And so I sort of set out thinking around that thesis and, what I could actually build. And I think that that's really come out in the stuff that I've done so far, and of course what I'm sort of building into the future. And that's really the first time that I've had the thought like that, because I think that in other ecosystems, it's very unknown if that ecosystem will be around in the next couple of years, right? You're building on something like Near, you're building on something like Sui. These are very new ecosystems. They're well capitalized, but, like, there's no guarantees that we will see these ecosystems in the next 5 to 10 years, right? And, like, how many L1s have we seen sort of come and go? It's an unfortunate sort of truth, but there's really only a few that have stood the test of time, and that's really just Bitcoin and ETH, right? And Solana is maybe there, but Bitcoin and ETH have sort of survived the test of time. And so I think that's a really powerful thing to have. I think that the builders on top of a chain like that, where they believe that they're going to be there for a long time, build products that are sort of emulate that as well. To your second point, right, or to your second question on, I think what people can ultimately do, to maybe have, similar growth or something like that, is, I think that it's not going to be easy, right? I think what was not seen in the lead up to a lot of that, right, was a lot of hard work, right? And, like, and of course there's hard work, but in, I think, different ways. Now that sort of, like, times have changed, things are sort of different. My focus needs to sort of, like, go elsewhere instead of just on the timeline. But, like, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of hard work, and ultimately that shows up, I think, in really re your results, right? And whether that's in sort of impressions or in sort of followers, the amount of work you put in is really what I believe you're going to get, or sort of similar or exceeds in the output that you get. So that's ultimately what I would say to that is there was a lot of hard work in the build up to me even thinking about launching or doing anything. Trying to get on stage with the Ordinal show and, like, providing my inputs, and sort of getting feedback and asking questions. It just takes it takes time. And then I think really, to this as well, what I, I think it's not just sort of myself, right? Like it's not just something that I did. It was really a team effort on, the OXBT side of things, and is continuing to be a team effort on the Quadrillion side of things. And needs to be that way. But also, lastly, not only is it hard work, right? Not only is it sort of like I think a really a team sort of thing and support system sort of thing. I had, I think the fortunate ability to really be, I think, in the right place at the right time. In that at that time, right, there was a lot of interest in this brand new thing that was, of course, BRC20, right? And so I didn't know, of course, that that was going to happen, right? I had no clue that there would be that much interest. But again, like I put in hard work. I wanted to continue to grow. I wanted to sort of build something of interest as well as continue on from there. And that was ultimately what was done. And then, of course, got I think pretty lucky with what the narrative was and what people wanted to potentially take a look at. And that was, exactly what I was sort of doing. So, it's not only the hard work, but also market forces that can, take your account to the next levels. And I think like that was seen. It's not something that's like a one-off thing. And you're like, well, that'll never happen to me. Right. Like how many accounts do we know that went from, sort of zero to 60,000 followers in this last bull run, right? Because they have like a Bored Ape or they have, different sort of PFEs, these different ecosystems, right? Solana and all the, Bitcoin. When there's that much interest, right? Like people grow, right? Like people are interested in that content. And of course, Twitter shows you that content and you get followed. So it's yeah, market forces definitely have a big effect on some of the stuff.
You said a lot of good points that I want to dive into. One of the things that you talked about was it was a perfect timing, right? I mean, you came in and BRC20s were hot. There was a moment in which you could log on to Twitter at that time. I think we were still calling it Twitter. And if there was any space that had the words BRC20, or especially if it had ordinals up in the title, it got, record number of listeners that tuned in to learn about it. I mean, hey, even I capitalized on it, right? We had a couple of different ordinal shows on it because people wanted to hear about it. I did some tutorials, et cetera, et cetera. That heyday is no longer here. And so a lot of people point to that and say, you see, there it is. It was a fad. Why should we care about it now? Bitcoin, if you believe in it, or actually, let me stop there. Let me stop there. Because I think that I have a whole bunch of other questions in relation to that. But, a lot of people would look at it and say, you see, I told you it was a fad. And on the other side, if we follow you or we follow other people that, for example, just came back from Bitcoin Amsterdam, it's a completely different story. Tell us from your perspective, are ordinals dead?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think that people were expecting back in sort of May when the OXBT Mint happened was a bit unrealistic, which was that like as soon as they came over to Ordinals, it was exactly like anything they've seen on sort of ETH or Solana, right? Which had ecosystems that had been built out over 1 or 2 years or so, if not more, right? Like ETH much longer. And they had lots of money, they had lots of time to develop a number of different pieces of infrastructure. And like Ordinals had like close to 5 or 6 months really, right? It started at the beginning of this year. And so at that time, I think that there was a lot of excitement and like, oh, like we can just do everything that we've done on ETH and come over to Bitcoin and it'll be ready to go. And like that's just not the case. Right. So I think that, OXBT in particular was a great event for onboarding, but because there wasn't really anything else to really do, it was poor at retaining, right? Or sort of like Ordinals in general was very poor at retaining any sort of people, right? And so I think that as time has progressed, since then, a number of different things have improved. There's a number of different things that you can now sort of get involved with. There's a number of different collections that are now, I think much larger, right? Like OMB in particular, you have like rare sats that I think are really interesting. But I think to your question, right? Like that's my longer winded answer. No, I don't believe ordinals or data are sort of even close to data. I think that they're really just getting started. And I think that to this point as well, what you see in sort of like daily volumes for ordinals, I actually haven't checked for a bit, but like I know it's over sort of like 300, 300 grand or so in sort of daily volume. So about like 30, probably over 30 Bitcoin a day. What you see in that though is $0 in wash trading, right? When in comparison to sort of any other ecosystem, it's like what 40 to 50% or more is sort of wash traded. And so like, is that really a good metric for the health of an ecosystem? Like I doubt it. And so I think what's interesting to that metric to me is you have, probably on average 30 Bitcoin a day or so on people just buying, on people just collecting. And I expect, of course, that to sort of increase, as well as another point is what is ultimately, in my opinion, going to not only onboard people but also retain them is really unique, experiences only found here, because it's incredibly easy to, of course, just copy and paste what you see or what has been done elsewhere. And yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, we've done this now. It's on Bitcoin. Like it should be better. And it's like, that's just not the case, right? You need unique things that can only be found here in order to retain people. And like that's what the focus of sort of Quadrillion is. And I've tried to really push that on many other, companies or sort of builders in the ecosystem. It's like, yeah, it's great. Like you can do this X thing, but like how is it different than what we've seen before? And I think it just takes a little bit of extra time, a little bit of different sort of like thinking, but that I think is what's going to go, the best for sort of the long run is like doing things that are unique to Bitcoin, only found here, forcing people to come over if it's of course interesting enough.
Yeah, you actually led it exactly in what I was thinking of because, a person that already believes in cryptocurrency, a person that already believes no matter what token they're using, right? Ethereum or Solana or Bitcoin. A person that believes in Bitcoin though is going to have a particular way of thinking. It is the digital gold. It is something that you don't fuck around with. It is something that you DCA into, that you hold onto, that you do not spend it on other stuff, right? And as it is right now, even for a person that is on the Ethereum side of it, it's hard for them to follow the theory that PFPs, for example, or the communities, for example, is worth it when you could just simply hold on to the token. And so, in my mind, seeing so many maxis that had entered during February, March, April time that ordinals were really, really hot. And we had a lot of Bitcoin maxis that were entering into the spaces, literally talking on the spaces. I hosted some myself that were like, how could you even think for a second to spend any Bitcoin on, digital goods or images or any of that? And out of those conversations, the use case of fine art started coming about, right? Yuga Labs very famously did launch their own 12-fold project, and it got a whole lot more attention than it had on the Ethereum side of it, of course, because everybody else already on the Bitcoin side already knew about it. But on the Ethereum side, it was like, oh wait, what is that? If Yuga Labs is looking into it, then perhaps it's time to jump into it as well. So all of that to say, if on the Ethereum side, it's already re really, really hard for a normal person to buy PFPs or just NFTs in general, then it's even harder, one would assume, on the Bitcoin side. What are the ways in which, to your point, not only can you onboard them, but also retain them when, if you, I mean, look, the facts are the facts are the facts. If you take a look at the prices right now of a lot of the different ordinal communities that launched PFPs or art or whatever, with the exception I would probably say of OMBs, a lot of them have dropped, right? Significantly, same thing on the Ethereum side, of course. But what do you say to a person that subscribes to the idea of why in the world would I spend my hard-earned Bitcoin on anything that is not just simply the token?
Yeah, I think I had a go at this as well in Amsterdam at this one party in particular that was mainly sort of Bitcoin maxis, trying to really ordinal pill them. And it's an incredibly difficult conversation because, many of them are already sort of biased in that, like, they believe it's just graffiti, it's just shit coins. Right, regardless of whether it's a JPEG or a BRC20, it's clogging the mempool. They don't like it, whatever it is, right? They have a number of a lot of times they have a number of problems. I think, like, the ultimate thing. Maxis that have.
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
But God, I think we're losing you. Can you get a little bit closer or maybe move?
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, there it
Any
is.
better? Are we back?
Yes, a lot. Thank you.
We're good.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean these, there's different sort of ordinal or I'm sorry, there's different sort of Bitcoin maxis, right, that have sort of morals, ideals, whatever it is. But at the same time, like, they also probably follow someone, right? Like, the majority of people are not necessarily, and this is just like a human thing. And my other point will also be like a human thing, right? The majority of people are not necessarily leaders, right? They're sort of like followers, right? So they subscribe to like someone's belief. And so I think it's in my opinion that the majority of these people just follow, what other people say or do on the timeline and will continue to do that until one or more of these people eventually flip, because at the end of the day, ordinals is a good thing. It's a sort of win-win for miners as well as creators, as well as businesses like marketplaces, whatever it is. It's ultimately a win-win. If you're a maxi and you're looking at sort of the future and thinking about the security budget, like, ordinals may be a sort of fix to that problem, right? Or it may be these sort of economics playing out in front of us that, like, there's clearly demand for the stuff, both on the consumer side, right, collector side, as well as miners, right? Like, I've talked to a bunch of different miners that, are probably would consider themselves as of a year ago or more complete Bitcoin maxis. But at the end of the day, I feel like those miners will ultimately choose to feed their families over Bitcoin maxi ideals or sort of morals. And how will they feed their families? It's probably or could be via ordinals. And so that's my thoughts there. I think my second thought as well is, like, innately, I think all humans are inclined to sort of speculate. I think since the beginning of time, right, humans have speculated on something. I think if you were to put, some sort of, like, maybe some chickens in some room right now and videotaped it, there'd be at least one person in this Twitter space that would want to speculate on whether those chickens touch the wall or something like that. It's just sort of like innately, I think, in humans. And I think that a lot of these assets, of course, are speculative in nature. And there's others that, I think really resonate with people as well, which is the fine art side. So that's the way I sort of look at that. I also think right now my focus isn't necessarily on the Bitcoin maxi side, because I think that'll come with culture, with general interest, with seeing what other people are doing, etc. At some point I will probably shift my focus though to be, maybe more maxi focused. But that's my typical response to someone thinking about sort of Bitcoin maxis. I think that they're, a large part of the Bitcoin ecosystem, but, Ordinals is continuing to grow as well, and maybe at some point it outpaces or sort of outlives Bitcoin maxi or deals,
I
ideals.
love, yeah, no, I love that response because I think that as a community, NFTs or knows as a community, a lot of people spin their wheels and waste their time trying to onboard the people that are just gung-ho against it and are just, set in their ways that they do not believe in it. And I think that There's so many more low-hanging fruit available for the ones that are curious about it, right? For the ones that have been thinking about it, for the ones that see that possibility.
I almost view that as sort of a similar task to like someone that's asking the question of, well, how are you going to get, you know, mass adoption? And it's sort of like similar in that, like, it's almost way too hard of a pitch, right, to like get someone into this if they have no clue, you know, what an ordinal is or what Bitcoin is. I think the best way to do it is through like subtle nudging, right? Is like you see what your friends are doing, you're interested in that, right? And you know, you find something that also like you yourself are really interested in, right? If it's the art piece, if it's a community piece, right? You sort of naturally, I guess, get onboarded rather than like, hey, you have to set up a wallet right now, or you're not a true, you know, sort of American or true capitalist, which I think some you know, Bitcoin maxis would try and pitch. So I don't know. I think that's the way I look at onboarding in general.
That's so extreme. It's so extreme. And when Bitcoin maxis were coming into the spaces and talking about it, I couldn't believe it, that that's truly their argument. That's really what they talk about. And to me, it's just like, dude, seriously? Anyway, they're lost, right? They're lost completely. I want to ask you about two things. Number one, tell us about Bitcoin Amsterdam. How was it? I mean, I saw the pictures, I saw the videos. It looked amazing. So many people are calling it, you know, like different, pivoting into different, better conversations, taking it to a different level. But I've also seen a lot of conversation, including from your own post, recap post, in which it's like, all right, it's the same people that I continue to see again and again. What do you think could have made it better? What did you like about it? What do you think could have made it better? And what are some of the things that we as a community should be, you know, supporting? And is it worth paying the money to go to these IRL conferences?
Yeah, I mean, I probably have some pretty controversial takes on this. So I typically never like actually pay for a conference ticket, right? I'm usually trying to figure out how to sort of get in or sort of be involved in the conference without. I think that my thesis there is like these conferences are probably more so for people that, you know, don't know a lot and maybe aren't on Twitter every single day like us. Because unfortunately, like, just a lot of these panels, a lot of these different things happening at the conference are very similar, if not like the exact thing we see on Twitter spaces, like day in, day out, that I'm having conversations about or I'm listening to. And so it's just like, to me, to sort of pay for that, I'm not sure it necessarily makes sense. And I know, you know, there's people that do, and I think that's great, right? I think if you'd like to do that, that's great. I think where I find the most value, though, after going to a lot of different conferences, is really, you know, just the side events, which are the majority of the time are really free. That's, I think, where you can actually build real relationships with, you know, with people that, you know, you may be known for a while online or whatever it is. So that's where I tend to really focus the majority of the time. If I can't get a ticket or end up sort of getting a ticket, you know, hanging around the conference area, coffee shop or whatever, doing meetings and then, you know, heading to the sun events. I'd say Amsterdam was really cool. That was my first time there. It rained really the majority of the time, so it was kind of difficult to really be walking around too much, and it was actually pretty cold. One of the things I would say is like maybe they can do it a little bit earlier in the year, like maybe, you know, towards the end of summer or something. I bet you know, Amsterdam is beautiful at that time. And then, yeah, I think to my point that I made in my post, like what I'm, you know, what I've been seeing so far, right, is ultimately a lot of the same people I've seen since NFT NYC and Bitcoin Miami. And I think that that's great. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, my goal needs to continue to be, you know, again, like trying to talk to, I think, new people, trying to talk to people that, you know, ultimately make sense for, you know, for the business or whatever it is. And I think that it's always great to further relationships, but I think at some point you need to have really new blood, right? Or sort of new people coming in that ultimately makes sense for everyone. And so that was my only note, right? It was just a lot of the same people I've been seeing, and I absolutely love those people and want to continue to see them, but also like want to have, some sort of curves thrown in there of like, hey, I work in TradFi and like this is my first ever time, checking out ordinals. That's something I think is ultimately like a challenge, and I think something that would make ordinals a more ecosystem of just like people that have different points of view that contribute to the conversation. I also just think that it's just a sign of the times, right? It's ultimately the bear market, and so who you're going to see at these conferences is probably not newer people. It's just it's much of the same, and so that's totally fine, right? Like continue to build those relationships, and I assume that maybe Art Basel will be similar, and maybe next year it's different. Be at Bitcoin Nashville, it'll be a little different.
I got my ticket ready to go to Miami for Art Basel. So super excited to see everybody. But also, I think this is the first year. This is the first year in which or the Ordinals community is like established, very different, included. I'm excited to see how that looks, because as it years past, there's always been little groups that end up siloing amongst themselves. And it's very different when it's in real life, when people are right there. And it's those type of conversations that get sparked, of what side of the world are you into, and tell me more. So yeah, I for sure agree with you. Art Basel too brings a lot of traditional people right into the space. And so I think that that's I'm excited to see how that journey looks like when we're all back. The recap of Art Basel for the first time with Ordinal community having been established to the level of the strength that it is today, it does it make a difference? Like, is there a dent put into it? I don't know. I'm excited. BRCs versus runes. What in the world is a rune? I've asked Trevor this 1,000 times, and I can still not, explain it correctly. So I'm gonna ask you, give me your version of it so I can wrap my mind around it a little bit more.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know if I honestly know it correctly. I think the basic understanding of I guess runes that I have, and I think it's not even fully fleshed out. It's just really still somewhat of a blog post, but it's utilizing sort of a different model for accounting for transactions, for ownership. What's it called? BRC20s are utilizing JSON and ordinals, and runes is utilizing UTXO model, which I still don't fully understand as well. So that's, I think, the basic overview of the difference there. I think that there's from what I've been told and from what I've heard, there's different advantages ultimately to both. And I think in that, what we'll probably see over time is probably one of those, ultimately be where people, probably trade or mint or deploy the most. My sort of thesis is that there's only one standard on the fungible like side that will probably be, the sort of dominant player. And we'll see. Maybe it's runes, maybe it's BRC20, maybe it's neither of those, right? And it's something that we haven't even seen yet. I think one of the interesting things that I had a really long talk with his name's LH, I think on Twitter .exe, and he's a part of the Saturn team, which is really focused on Sats. And he was talking about how there's something they've been looking into as well around Sats as sort of like a fungible like replacement as well with some unique features. So I'm going to have a call with them, I think, soon to sort of go over some of the basics of that. But that seems particularly interesting as well. And they said that there's really interesting features to how you can interact with Sats versus BRC20 or runes. So I think there's still a number of conversations around just fungible token standards that have yet to be figured out. And I think even like ORC Cash and ORC 20 are still in the conversation as well because of, I know the people sort of like building there. So it's really up in the air. I think we got a long road, I think, till we see a true winner, it feels like. Of course,
Man,
got
it's
to
so
meet
hard.
and
Sorry, go ahead.
over in Amsterdam.
Yeah, man, big brains, right? Tremendously big brains. It has one post up, and the rest of us are like, "What the hell do we make out of that?" It's complicated. It's a lot more complicated than just explaining it, or like listening to it one time. And I'll be perfectly honest with you that it also scares me personally as a user, but also as a builder in the space, because BRC20s to me had such a do have such a clear cut use case, right? But when there are bigger, better versions, supposedly, such as Rune, when it fully develops, I guess, happens, then what are we supposed to do with our BRC20s? And also, how do we not know? And I suppose this is, a question that across every sphere is applicable, but how do we not know that once we start transferring everything to runes or buying runes or building on that something else that's bigger, better isn't going to be built? And now here we go looking at that. And when on the heels of the conversation we just had, which is how do you onboard people, how do you convince people, whether you are a Bitcoin maxi or whether you're just a curious person trying to hedge against inflation and real life worries about it. How do you feel comfortable? How do you ever get to that point that you feel comfortable investing in something that potentially 3 months down the line no longer exists? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I echo, I think, a lot of the sentiment. I think I was actually pretty critical of I went to IRL Alpha a couple of weeks ago, and when this stuff was really just first released, and really stated that I think the whole rollout and like blog posts and everything that happened was pretty chaotic, and caused a lot of confusion and in our community and all that sort of stuff. I don't I think to your question, I don't think you can. I think quite honestly, I don't think you can be. But what I will say is this, is that what I know is there's been multiple standards that have been supposedly better tech. SRC in particular was one that came out, I think, just before Ordi got listed, like a couple of weeks before Ordi got listed on a centralized exchange. Back in, I think, maybe early April or maybe early May or something. And everyone was like, oh, this is much better tech. We should be using this. Ultimately, the market, I think, doesn't necessarily choose what is better tech, right? And I think that's why a lot of people were sort of pissed about the runes thing is if it is better tech, like who knows if people want to really use it? Like what does the UI look like? Like how much easier is it to interact? And like that was honestly the biggest or one of the bigger problems with SRC20 is like getting into the stamps ecosystem is not a really easy thing to do in comparison to I felt like Ordinal. So I think there's a lot of different factors in what is going to make one of these standards the I guess sort of breadwinner or what people end up really building on. And I think that a lot of that needs to be really played out. So I think to your question though, Bell, if I'm on that side, I don't think you can be necessarily confident in that like X standard will be around and will be the one that people are using. I think what to that though, if you're investing in a particular, BRC20, you would hope that, whatever, if there is even a team behind it or, a person behind it, that, if it does look like social consensus is moving towards, an entirely different standard and the infrastructure is maybe being built out or whatever for that standard, that sort of founder or team could make the switch, right? And it's honestly not that that crazy to sort of make that switch, right? It's probably just like a snapshot and a claim, or like a snapshot and an airdrop to those corresponding addresses that currently hold, whatever sort of redundant standard is in your wallet. So it's not sort of hard. I think it's obviously just going to be like the majority of these, probably BRC20s and others, like don't have anyone behind it, and so you'll most likely be sort of left with sort of holding the bag. So yeah, I guess my answer is really twofold, right? Like one, you would hope that that's something that you're buying is has a team to make that switch if needed, and two, you probably can't be confident in most because they don't have that sort of thing behind it that will make that switch for you or sort of be a part of making that switch.
In other words, you're telling me that I cannot 100% know exactly what it is that I'm doing in this space.
I wish, right? I wish.
Seriously, I think we're all, a lot of the ways just going along with things as things progress. But it
Yeah,
makes for.
I think it's just going to take a long time to, well, maybe not a long time, but like it's going to take some time to figure out, right? Like we are, I guess, what, 6 or 7 months or so into BRC20s, and there's still, I think, a lot of improvements to be made. I know that the L1F Foundation was just set up to, I think, hopefully make some changes. And if that's sort of where things have gone in the past 6 months of BRC20s, like you'd have to think that it's not going to be, super easy for runes to just, build similar infrastructure or more infrastructure in like less amount of time. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's because like people recognize the mistakes of BRC20 and are able to more easily build on top of runes. But yeah, I think it's going to take some time. But I think that this is ultimately, and I guess sort of unfortunately, what happens in earlier ecosystems, right? Is like many of these standards aren't figured out yet. There's a lot of testing. There's a lot of sort of going back and forth. And you have companies building on one standard, and you have companies trying out another. And who ultimately knows which will be, probably the one that the majority of people use in the end, maybe in a year or two.
For sure. Talk to us about Quadrillion. Before you do that, though, I want to open up the room. If anybody has any questions, jump into the discussion, request to speak, and I'll be happy to get you up here. But tell us about Quadrillion.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just went live, I think maybe 2 or 3 days ago, with the overview of what's sort of going to happen over the next 21 days or so, which is this really unique reveal experience that is involving or trying to involve the sensory side of things for Perpetual's Volume 1 Beginnings, which is a curated collection of 21 artists with varying edition sizes, really making their debut on Bitcoin. And so that is ultimately what Perpetuals is, and Quadrillion as really an entity is focused on not just sort of like getting you from A to B, but like ultimately how you get from A to B, right? And like the experience of getting to A to B. And so it's really focused around the experience. And you're seeing that in not just, or you will see that in the mints, but you're also seeing that in the reveal process, right? Which is not only are you seeing the piece of art, but you're also getting an accompanying sort of audio file that allows you as a potential collector to connect more with the piece. Right, and sort of at the end of this whole experience, you'll be able to hopefully collect some of these pieces that you sort of liked throughout this reveal process. But that is Quadrillion, and that's Perpetuals, and that's of course the reveal process. And we have another piece of art going live as a part of the reveal in a couple hours. I think in an hour and or 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Sweet. The entire premise is about art, and I don't think we've touched on that today. Tell us why art, it is such a good match for the Ordinals community.
Totally. I think this has been a part of really the pitch, I think, to many of the artists, is really this. I think if you look at different blockchains as a canvas, we just fundamentally believe that Bitcoin as a canvas is the sort of most pure, the most resilient, again, database on Earth. It's the most immutable, the longest standing blockchain, like all of these different sort of factors that I think, again, if you look at blockchains as a canvas, that stuff, I think, in our opinion, really should matter, not only to us, but to creators, and especially artists. And so that was the ultimate pitch was, hey, we believe Bitcoin is where your art should be for, the reasons I just sort of laid out. And of course, like you can do your art elsewhere, but we believe that this is the best place to do it. And I think a lot of artists were almost immediately very open to, figuring out how to work together. And I think like the lineup that we've been able to curate, I think for this first, volume of perpetuals, I think is incredible and, spans a number of different genres, all really coming from, I think majority, if not all, are coming from ETH, really making their debut here. And I think that just a part of that, the pitch was really powerful. I think the product that was put together by the team as well is really powerful. And the whole experience is and has been really the focus since, since day one. And so that's ultimately the pitch and like why we believe these artists should be creating here, should be launching here, and maybe not elsewhere.
Do you want to pin up something so that we can go and follow along? That would be fantastic. And along those,
Absolutely.
that'd be really good. And along those lines, Big God, I think that we're all here. If you've tuned in today, then you are squarely in the community and, maybe not necessarily the Ordinals community. Maybe you are, I don't know, but you're definitely part of the, Web3 ecosystem, and we are all always rooting for the creator, for the builders that are in the space that are getting shit done, building new things, building community, etc. So, on that note, Big God, what are some things that we could do to continue to support you on your journey?
I think the best thing to do, honestly, is just follow along with Quadrillion and just enjoy the experience. Like just sit back, enjoy the experience, right? Like look at the pieces, look at every detail, as well as listen to the audio, right? That accompanies every piece. And really, figure out if there's multiple that you really connect with, and hopefully there's at least one that you do and would love to be a part of this experience. So I think that's ultimately best. Notifications on, sit back and just be a part of this experience through and through. And I think something we announced not too long ago as well, I think to really close out this sort of full experience, we're securing, and I think we'll do some sort of live IRL event, I think here in LA to close out this full experience, and really do right by the artists. And so that's what I would say. I right? Follow along with this experience and connect with these pieces, and we hope you enjoy.
Nice. Well, it's been a tremendous pleasure to have you on the show today to pick your mind and your brain around all of these, new things that I am personally bullish on that I also want to learn more about. So, thank you so very much for joining us today. Guys, if you haven't already, go and make sure that you took a look at the pinned tweet. Both of them, the one from BitGod as well as the one referring to today's Space Caps POAP, so that you can follow Tau BRC and know the instructions on how to be able to qualify for those airdrops. So make sure you're doing that already. If you're not following BitGod, be sure to also do that. And go. One of my favorite tips on people like BitGod is if you want to learn more about the community and learn more about what he's involved in and what they're involved in, go and make sure that you... Oh, and he must have dropped off by accident. Go and make sure that you see who he's following, right? And oh, there he is. Go and make sure that you see who he's following and follow like a lot of the people that he's following. That's one of the best ways, in my opinion, to immerse yourself into some of those communities. So, but God, you dropped off and I was like, what the hell? Did he not like what I was saying? What is going on?
No, sorry about that. I think it accidentally clicked out, but I'm back.
That's hilarious. No, it's no problem at all. I was just saying, make sure that you're following BitGod. Follow the people that he's following if you want to learn more about the community and the people that, you know, that are doing so many amazing things on that side of the world. Make sure that you're following me, that you're following TabBRC. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today. We do the show every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, we have on OSF, which I am super excited about. After that, we have on Luca Nets. So, hello, what are you doing with your life if you're not joining us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? Thank you, everybody. Love you all for joining us. If you didn't know, now you know, baby. See you next week, everybody. Have a good one.
Murder on the beats.